You're listening to Trending with Timmery, offering an eternal perspective on today's hottest topics. National speaker Timmery Millington has been a passionate advocate for life as long as she can remember, helping Gen X through Z answer the call to true feminism and authentic manhood. Timmery holds a master's degree in biblical theology, and she covers this week's hottest stories from a Catholic worldview. You're listening to Trending with Timmery.
Lots ahead of us today. Timmery Millington here. We'll be talking about Netflix's new show, Sex Ed, and really ways to figure out what the solution is to these challenging television shows and maybe where our attitudes need to be moving forward as we're faced with more challenging and morally comparable shows. We'll talk about the Women's March and the March for Life, the turnout, some of the messages, and some really incredible conversions that have taken place over the last couple of days within, I would say, the Women's March movement, and just by basic dialogue. But in studio with me this morning is Dr. Philip Chavez.
It's good to be here, Timmery. Thanks.
Thanks for being with me. So Dr. Philip Chavez, for those who are not familiar with him, you can find all the episodes where he joins us just about monthly here on Trending. And his work is really at the Men's Academy. You're the founder and leading director of the Men's Academy.
Exactly.
And can you just briefly tell us what the mission of the Men's Academy is and where people can get more involved?
Sure. The mission of the Men's Academy is to help men grow in their identity, their mission, their journey as God bestowed upon them. Not only to understand what they're made of in the natural level, but also, too, what it means to walk supernaturally as a man. Because there is a faith path specific to men that I think when they're taught the faith and Christianity and in masculine categories and masculine way, they're able to embrace it much better. So that's one of the challenges we're trying to do and move through. And as well as talk about how men should be moving through the church crisis today. And they can find the work on themensacademy.org, themensacademy.org.
Excellent. So be sure to go and check out his work. And there's actually a free podcast you have available for download there as well.
Right. As well as there's many free podcasts, but the main one is an hour of an overview of Christian manliness. And I talk about all the categories of man's mission, his identity, and his journey, what he does, how he who is he, and how he should move forward in life.
And we're going to get to this in another episode together, and that is just last week, the American Psychological Association is really kind of claiming war on men. And in some ways, you can look at the report and say, okay, I could see where men are struggling and we need to deal with aggressive masculinity that is damaging, say, within certain minority groups in particular, where
sure,
a father's absent from the home.
Right.
However, there's this attack on masculinity that we really need to say, well, what is good about manliness? What are they kind of going after is negative, and where do we need to see a virtuous version of courage, of that stoicism? So
exactly,
we'll talk about that together. But I want to hear your thoughts on this. I was on Netflix just this past week, and a new trailer popped up. I don't know why Netflix would think I'm even slightly interested in this, but it piques my interest because it's titled Sex Ed. And as you know, now on Netflix, automatically previews just start rolling, and I'm thinking, what on earth is this? Here's a synopsis of the show, basically. A kid whose mom is a sex therapist is now being called upon to give sex education advice and kind of be a little sex psychologist for his fellow students. And just within the trailer, Dr. Chavez, they show things such as trans issues, bisexuality, dressing up as drag, in addition to just a very, very, what some might say, liberating teenage sexual behavior.
Sure.
Yeah. What did you think about this when you saw the trailer?
Well, it was quite shocking. Of course, then when I read some reviews and some of the things going on with that show, I mean, there's nothing hidden in that program.
I mean,
nothing. They cover the whole panorama of issues of sexuality. And interestingly enough, I think it's designed in such a way, you could see how the way it's laid out is very, very attractive to young people. And so it's to draw, I can see how it's able to draw, say, a preteen, teenage crowd, even young adult, even older adult, too.
Yeah, I think it's a shocking and fast-paced, and it's interesting, and it's really, truly dealing with complex issues, especially in 2019, where we are seeing the conversation surrounding transgenderism, and even the conversation surrounding drag, and how that somehow is acceptable among young children to behave as drag. We've been talking about Desmond on the show here. Desmond is an amazing child who's, I mean, truly being sold out for his sexuality right now.
Yeah, yeah, there's many challenges here. You know, and I think one of the reasons this program gets a kind of pass is because it's called sex ed. And I think what's happening too, whatever we want to say about all the exposures of kids that our kids are exposed to, it just seems that there's not the kind of good teaching or they're good forms by which they can, open up to their parents. And so I think these shows will become more popular as kids become more confused and they want answers. And in these shows, in these programs, from what I can tell, from what I've seen in the reviews that I've read, they are bringing up the panorama of things, which, they don't normally hear in discussion. They may see, but they don't see discussed. And so attracted to some kind of discussion of it.
What's one of those most kind of controversial or even shocking issues that you saw brought up that, you know, kids are starting to all of a sudden have conversations about that before maybe they'd either go to a parent or they wouldn't even know anything about until maybe much, much later in life?
Yeah. And I think what's happening, too, is that I would otherwise hope that this kind of show would lead one to ask their parents. But it looks like a child only has its peers to turn to. In fact, that's what's kind of unfortunate about this whole thing. We're getting instruction from young people as if they're the source of authority about what's going wrong today. In fact, that almost seems to be, you know, like if we wanted to find out some kind of opinion on an issue today, it's like, well, let's ask the people what they think instead of going to a real authority figure.
Well, and I remember that was a key characteristic of my generation, Gen Y, that we wanted to hear from our peers, not from the adults. And so
sure.
Even in the way the church started to model some of their youth programs, let the teens hear from their peers.
That's right.
And I think that I was kind of a little separate from that. Yeah, it's nice to hear from my peers, but I wanted to hear from people who had experienced that. But that's not the case with most young people today. They only hold authority within other people who have experienced or recently are experiencing the same things they are. And so that's what's disheartening about this show is that they're taking all of these different types of sexual exploitation, sexual discovery, sexual adventure, mm-hmm. and they're making it an adventure. They're making it fun. They're making it, you know, oh, it's okay if you're bisexual. You're attracted to one person now and another person later. But here's the kicker. I think we're at the point where we have to decide, what do we do about this? Because these television shows are only going to continue to be more common and more accessible to young people.
That's right. And I think laws are now going to have to be put in place to govern content like this that is streamed. From what I understand, this kind of content is not restricted because of the nature of the forum by which it's broadcasted. In other words, I think certain broadcastings, there are certain laws which govern this, but there's more liberality that's able to be taken on a streaming kind of mode of content delivery.
And anymore, we're receiving and consuming so much content. I mean, people are walking, living, breathing content consumers with, you know, their iPads, their phones. I mean, we can't even walk down the hall as you're getting ready anymore without someone having to be glued to a screen now because we don't allow that silence to enter into our space. So here, I think, are some of the solutions. Of course, television filtrations in terms of what your kids have access to on Netflix, Hulu, or whatever they might watch.
Sure.
But I think we need to change our mindset that television is a luxury to be enjoyed with other people, or maybe if you're really sick, and it's
very
not
good.
Something that's a day-to-day occurrence.
Sure. And yeah, I mean, and I think there's studies to show that those who watch too much television does have a damaging influence to their mind and way they're thinking. And two, just by the nature of so much exposure to these things, by mere volume, it makes it look like, well, life is just a passageway of experiences and opinions, and there is real no absolute truth here.
Absolutely. Well, and that's part of the issue, too, is that consumption of television is very different from reading a book, let's say.
That's right.
Whereas, and I even was just thinking about it because I'm trying to be better and better, because especially right now, I'm still living alone. So sometimes there's that temptation, oh, I'm just going to, you know, eat my lunch. I'll throw on a show in the background as I do so.
Sure.
And I have to tell myself no. And so even just last night, I was reading a book as I was eating dinner super late last night. Glad I wasn't putting on the TV, because even just, you know, the stimulation of the TV kind of keeps you up at night.
Keep you up, sure.
And I was thinking about, oh, you know, I looked up a word while I was reading. I was thinking about, well, why is this character thinking this way? Versus when I watch a TV show, I have to force myself to question characters' motives, where they're going with the character.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, we might enjoy a show and kind of guess the plot.
Sure.
But we really are a consumer. We just receive what we see on the television rather than
That's
really
right.
grappling with it like a book.
Yeah. There's not much in the way of interactivity. In fact, I think it's designed in such a way to be transfixed and almost to be silent and just to receive. So, yeah, that's unfortunate. But, yeah, it is in reading that you're able to engage your thinking more. And there's something by which, yeah, you can almost hear your own self think as you're going through this. But just to add to, Timur, I think in terms of things that need to be put in place to really help these kinds of problems, you know, one of the reasons, again, these shows are popular is because I think parents aren't really talking about them. And I think, too, sometimes when children think the parents are going to talk about this, they're just going to be corrected. And I think a parent needs to develop a habit, so not only just instructing their children, but learning how to open up their minds and hearts, ask them what interests them, what's going on in their lives. And I think it's very difficult for an adult in this world when they're so taken up by many things to actually sit down and take the time with their children to ask them what's important on their hearts, to what they're thinking.
This is a great point, and it's reminding me of the conversation I had last week with my guest, Trent Horn, and we were talking about his book, Made This Way. And one of the big things they talk about in the book, his book that he co-authored with Layla Miller, is that you have to be, you know, a parent that is authoritative, but not authoritarian, where your sure. child's scared of you. But you also can't be that just friendly parent who lets anything go.
That's
you
right.
have to be the friendly, authoritarian parent where your child knows that you're an authority. They can go to you with difficult issues, even if they may be messed up,
sure.
but they can have those tough conversations that are maybe uncomfortable.
That's right. And I think what I find too, Timur, is that children are able to in some way forgive their parents when they're being corrected or where they're even when their parents make a mistake, just so long as they know that they're loved. I think children, when their parents reach out to them, sometimes they don't feel loved. But when they are feel loved, or at least overall know that their parents love them, that makes a great difference in what the parents are able to transmit.
Timory will be right back. Tweet them at Timory. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. You're listening to Trending with Timory, where morality and culture meet, offering an eternal perspective on today's hottest topics.
So some of you listening may have actually been at the March for Life in Washington, D.C. this past weekend. Perhaps you're at the Walk for Life in San Diego. I know we also have the Walk for Life in San Francisco, the West Coast Walk for Life, or maybe a local Walk for Life in your area. So we're going to be talking about that coming up, because in some of these cities at the same exact time, they were conducting a women's march. And so we'll talk about how women's marches following has really decreased and how some people actually had some pretty major conversions when they saw some of the pro-life content out there. With me is Dr. Philip Chavez. And I want to talk with you, Dr. Chavez, about these undercover videos, you remember, that came
sure.
out. Yeah, just about, gosh, 4 years ago now.
That's right. Wow, it's hard
I think
to
it might have even yeah. been longer than that. It's been about 3 or 4 years, I think closer to 4 years. David DeLeiden and the Center for Medical Progress released 12 videos, or actually 14 videos, correction there, really exposing Planned Parenthood, the Abortion Federation, the abortion movement, of how they were buying and selling fetal baby body parts, fetal quote-unquote tissue, same thing, body parts here, and that's illegal in our country. It's something where the abortion industry was profiting from the abortions taking place. So they had a vested interest. For those who don't know, a clinic would have someone who was a practitioner that would be there to kind of identify what kind of parts they needed that day. So they needed, let's say, 3 hearts at 25 weeks gestation. They needed maybe 2 kidneys at 30 weeks gestation. Mm-hmm. So if they saw a woman inside the abortion clinic, they'd say, oh yeah, that's the woman we want to make sure that we get her baby's heart, her baby's liver.
That's right.
And so if maybe the woman's changing her mind, they're putting pressure on her to abort that day because they're making money in addition to the abortion funds.
That's right. It's hard to imagine that. And I've heard this years ago. In fact, I heard this 20 years ago where a woman doctor I knew was positing that the abortion industry would really be fed by the sale of body parts. I thought she was crazy at the time. But it turns out that's a great motive for abortion, and it's a great motive for profitability, especially for those who are doing it on the private level within the clinics working within them. And so they're able to work in even darker kind of market with the sales of these parts.
It is absolutely shocking. If you have not seen the videos, I will go ahead and tweet and Facebook them out. You can find me at Timory. That's T-I Mmerie. Because if you have seen them, you can still reshare them with people. Because here's the news. This is why we're bringing this up, actually. One of the highest courts in the United States, a federal appeals court, actually was looking at the videos like 4 years later and said, actually, all of these videos, they're not edited at all. There's nothing that's omitted from them. There's nothing that's added to them.
That's right.
These videos are legitimately exposing Planned Parenthood, their partners, and the rest of the abortion industry.
That's right. And you wouldn't know that, Timory, because if you were to go on YouTube, you would see that there are clips about how these videos have been debunked.
I mean, it's fascinating because this isn't the first time we've known this, but it's just that the federal appeals court finally said it as well. But there have been all of these different stages of local courts in the different states that these videos were recorded in, where they already said these are clear cut videos run beginning to end. Because what happens is when these undercover journalists go in, they take the videos, they may post a 9 minute version of the video online, but they take the full roll of the video and submit it to the authorities and give that online as well as access.
Yeah, I think of all things, what I find the most shocking about all these videos is somewhat the cavalier attitude and just the attitude of the complete disregard and disrespect for life that comes through. It's pretty atrocious.
There is some good news today, though, because the federal appeals court has said that these videos have not been edited. Basically, what's happened is there has been legislation in the works in Texas right now where the federal court has said, okay, yes, in Texas, you can defund Planned Parenthood because Planned Parenthood has fraudulently been overbilling Medicare, Medicare type of system. They've also illegally sold and bought baby body parts. Not only that, this is the great news. That means that $3.1 million that was going to Planned Parenthood in Texas is being defunded.
That's right. And hopefully much of this will follow. And this is where we got to start pushing our own congressmen in this direction that, hey, following the example of Texas, we should be doing the same in our own state. And so I think we need to do this more and more, especially as state funds are getting more and more rare, too. We should see that just the grave injustice that when funds the state does need, all the more so goes to a very malicious cause.
Absolutely. So here's the thing. Today, right now, as we're recording this, it's January 22nd. For those who don't know, we are today marking the 46th anniversary of Roe versus Wade. That's 46 years of legalized abortion. Now, that same day that Roe versus Wade was made the law of the land through the Supreme Court, not the people voting on it, there was also another case called Doe versus Bolton. And between the two cases, they not only made it so that abortion was legal through all 9 months of a woman's pregnancy, but they made it legal and accessible through all 9 months between those two cases. And so basically what we're seeing is that throughout the country, all of a sudden, there was a massive access to abortion, even if different states had passed laws to prohibit abortion after a certain, say, a number of weeks or at a certain point because the woman's health, only maybe if a woman's health was in danger. And that was the only reason, not that that's acceptable, but that's the type of laws we had before.
Yeah. And I think what's happening is, some of the ancients taught that law is itself a teacher. So once it became legalized, opinions did start to shift and change. Of course, I think certain other movements of feminism, whatnot, kind of curbed that too and made abortion seem more acceptable. But yes, we did see public opinion turn with the turning of the court.
Well, and we've seen since then over 60 million abortions take place here in the United States. And you look at that number and it's hard to even fathom.
It is.
I mean, these are many women and men who have experienced lost fatherhood. These are men and women with truly gaping holes in the development of their psyche, in the development of their motherhood and fatherhood, who are struggling today.
That's right. And those pains really don't go away. You know, it's interesting. You could, even from a man who's a natural father away from his child, he never stops being a father. Once the child is born, the man's heart as a father is always active. And so all the more so in that initial betrayal to abandon life, that's a guilt because of the incipient nature of fatherhood and how close it is to our being and motherhood parallel. Those kinds of wounds do hit to the core.
And I've talked to so many women, but also men. We forget that this really does impact men. So many men who, I've been out doing pro-life life work. And, you know, a guy will kind of pull me aside or just be standing there watching and then eventually say, yeah, you know, my girlfriend had an abortion or my ex-wife had an abortion.
That's right. And I don't think men have in some way the forums. It's just a little bit harder to talk about for them since they are a little more removed from the whole process. But and I think it's too in some way, you know, some have too have found because they have no rights in this matter that's also made them feel more and more defenseless and more in some way vulnerable to the whole issue.
So I want to give this as access to greater healing within your own community. And that's Rachel's Vineyard, also known as Rachel's Hope and Healing. Look it up. They actually have retreats not only for women, but also for men as well to really go through a healing process. Even if it's been 20, 30 years since that abortion, or maybe you know someone today who's still struggling. So we're offering that as a resource. And if you maybe think that this doesn't affect you, well, I don't know anyone who's had an abortion. Let's just look at the numbers. Planned Parenthood, the numbers were actually just released that I saw yesterday. And we've just discovered that Planned Parenthood has continued to decrease all of their access to any small amount of cancer screening that they did or any
That's right.
small amount of prenatal care that they did, which was very limited. And any type of contraception access they gave, they actually increased their abortion numbers last year by over 11,000 abortions. So more abortions than ever before performed by Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, and you would think too that the other services would actually be increasing. So in some way, it's a surprise that they're not. In fact, I was kind of surprised to hear that they are diminishing. So it's not clear to me what causes that.
Well, what has been made clear is that Planned Parenthood is saying abortion is healthcare. They've, you know, hired a medical doctor now to lead Planned Parenthood, Dr. Leanna Nguyen, and she's really saying this is basic healthcare. And they're running with that. And as they're decreasing their different types of services, they're increasing advocacy, which means you and I have more of a responsibility than showing up at a march or a walk this year
sure.
and remembering the dead babies and their mothers and fathers who have suffered. We need to get out there, talk to our legislators, convert
That's right.
hearts daily, be there for friends or even strangers who are in crisis pregnancy.
That's right. And in some way, Timory, I think where it starts for many is to be in front of those clinics and pray before them. I think without doing that and facing that reality, it's going to be otherwise. I think that's a more sapient thing to do before you start moving and acting politically, because there's something about being in front of those clinics. I was there last Wednesday. And again, there's always something by which I'm struck by and moved. And it's just a good reminder to be there, to be present, especially for men.
It calls you heart, body, and soul to do more, to physically be a barrier against abortion, to spiritually be a warrior and an intercessor against abortion and for these men and women who are vulnerable. And you guys, if we do not continue to speak up, although we are very blessed, and we'll talk about, in fact, the surprise of both President Trump and Vice President Mike Pence to the March for Life and what those messages were. But I want to kind of end with this note, because right now, New York, with the assistance of Hillary Clinton, is really pushing for the Reproductive Health Act, which what they're trying to do is, in case Roe versus Wade is overturned,
That's right.
they're saying, we're going to make sure here in the state of New York that abortion, and this is Hillary Clinton's doing, is legal through all 9 months of a woman's pregnancy.
That's right. And she wants to lift all restrictions, anything that can inhibit access, she wants to eliminate. It's amazing. And she wants us to pay for it, or the citizens of New York in any case.
This is why we have to speak up. It's great when we have people who are pro-life or friendly to pro-lifers in office, but what if we don't? And when we do, let's do the most good we can, but start with getting uncomfortable and head out in front of the abortion clinic. We need you out there. Those babies truly need your intercession.
Timory will be right back. Tweet them at Timory. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. You're listening to Trending with Timory.
Turn your phone into a mobile radio. Take Trending with you on the go. This is Timory Millington here. You can listen to all the episodes of Trending. And my guest, Dr. Philip Chavez, has episodes of his podcast talking about masculinity, which is so important, which you can find at themensacademy.com, correct?
That's right. That's it. Or .org.
.org.
Themensacademy.org.
Themensacademy.org. Wonderful. So what we're talking about today, that's Dr. Philip Chavez. He's the head creator of the the Men's Academy. This past week, again, we saw a really interesting piece of information come out with regard to fertility, which we're going to get to in a second. Not only are demographers, again, those are people who study population concern, but you and I should be concerned about our future ability to conceive children. So coming up in just a minute. But this weekend was the Women's March, and I really had to make myself say that with great enthusiasm. because this Women's March is not for women.
No, it's not. And one of the things that surprised me, too, is how it maybe shouldn't surprise me, is how little these are actually attended. I mean, when you compare them with the pro-life marches, there's actually even no comparison.
I'll be the first to say that 3 years ago, the first Women's March, you know, really a stick it to President Trump, as they put it, and in a very pro-abortion march, they excluded all pro-lifers, for those who don't know. Anyone who opposes abortion was not welcome, and in fact, kind of bullied if they showed up. But this is what's interesting. Now, 3 years later, attendance has significantly dropped. I'll admit, the first year, they actually had a decent amount of people attend. Nothing in comparison to the March for Life that has had hundreds upon thousands of participants come. I think their biggest year, about five or so years ago, was over 650,000 participants walking for the legal protection of the preborn children in the womb.
That's right. One of the things that can't be hidden anymore is the science behind all of this. I mean, kids are growing up now watching ultrasounds of their little brothers and sisters. And of course, with social media, there's so much access and the internet generally that they're starting now to see the truth of the matter. And even though there might be some ambivalence, they certainly can't. It's certainly harder to hold a pro-abortion platform and want to take the extra step to actually go to a march, because they know deep down it is something deeply wrong.
Absolutely. And I think this is where, when we look at the issue, the young people are at the March for Life. The Women's March attendance is down. In fact, there was great scandal about 2 months ago because one of the co-founders of the Women's March is known to be very highly connected to some very anti-Semitic individuals and movements as well.
That's right.
But I want to look for a second at some of the signs we see from the Women's March, starting with, I just refer to them as the nasty hats. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you've got to go look at these nasty hats of women's body parts that they're putting on their heads. It's not cute. I don't care how pink it is. I like pink, and that hat is ugly.
Yeah.
You just look at it. It's vulgar. And these signs are vulgar as well. I mean, even just to see the verbiage that they use, it's not respectful. They're actually disrespecting themselves by these signs, such as something like a woman's favorite position is CEO. It's a play on all of those words we see on the front of magazines about sex positions.
Sure.
Or, you know, things like we are not overreacting. You're reducing your ovaries to something that's okay to just talk about in general conversation. I mean, some of these are just disgusting.
Yeah, even that one I'm recalled, we need to talk about the elephant in the womb, the image of the Republican image of the elephant being inside an actual womb.
That's
yeah,
ironic.
I thought that was very, very insulting. Yeah,
very insulting. I mean, and it's interesting, if you pull up some of the video, man, if there's any pro-lifer present, they just get screamed at by the pro-abortion movement.
Yeah.
There's no class, there's no self-respect or respect from others based on what they're willing to talk about their own bodies or what they're willing to expose others to with their behavior.
That's right. And so if you can't use truth to make an argument, to make your position, you're going to have to shout in the face of others. And I think that's what's really happening. Instead of talking about abortion is safe, legal, and rare now, it's best to just shout it down. That seems to be their main attack now.
Well, and that's actually now exactly what their tactic is. It's shout your abortion, not just shout it down, shout
that's
your
right.
abortion. Instead of, like you just said, that's a really important point that you said, it used to be safe, legal, and no, they
yeah.
want total and complete access to abortion. But here's some really cool news. So some of the women's marchers end up around a display, a pro-life display. The first one is a woman who's all dressed up in her women's march and encounters one of the organizations that does display fetal baby body parts. So the baby's bodies showing this is what abortion is. Now, you may argue right away, you may be upset, oh, how dare they be out there? I really do believe that signs such as those do have a time and a place.
Sure.
And I get that there are times where children are around, but here's a story, and I can tell you firsthand of my own experience with this. So a woman comes up, and she's got her little girl, and she's got, the mom has her nasty hat on her head, and they've got their, you know, pro-abortion whatever signs for the Women's March, and the little girl walks up to one of the signs of an aborted baby, and she freezes. And the mom comes up and tries to grab her, and she can't get the little girl to move. And the little girl very emphatically, very deeply moved by this, says, "Why?" Her mom kind of ignores her and says, "Come on, baby, like, let's go." And she's pulling at her. She's trying to get her to go. And every time the mom tries to pull her away, more loudly, the little girl goes, "Why? Why?" She wants to know what is going on. Finally, the mom gets down on her knees and talks to the little girl and says, "Come on, baby, we're going home." And she takes her nasty hat off her head and they leave.
That's right. And, you know, there is something about your child is so impacted by these things. I remember one episode, and I heard this secondhand when I missed going to this one clinic, where there was this young girl. When she was commenting on it, I forget who she was talking to, and she was just 7 years old, and she said, "It's just so wrong." In other words, it's so simple and plain and matter of fact. It's hard to deny that and argue against that. And something about when children see the truth, you know, as it said in the scriptures, out of the mouth of babes, it's just amazing just that simple wisdom that comes forth that just cannot be irrefutable, because it starts at just a simple prime base level. And of course, too, children being the most vulnerable and most sensitive to certain fundamental truths, when they're faced with that, the truth comes out. They are not pro-choice.
It totally comes out. And this is what's interesting, because I've done quite a bit of activism, including times where I have had those graphic signs. And I'm proud to hold it. I think there's a time and a place. And again, we could debate those tactics off air. Maybe one of these days we'll talk about it on air. But I would always experience some parents who would be really upset if there were children around. And what's interesting is the parent would be the one upset. The little child would be trying to intervene, talking to the parent, saying, "Why did they hurt that baby? Why is the baby bloody?" The child, like sure. You said, out of the mouth of babes, they get that child was brutally murdered. And that's wrong. Why did that happen?
That's right. I think, too, Timberly, we have to remember, too, I mean, that shock that does come upon young people, it is in some way a certain violation of their innocence. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, I don't think it's proper to expose children to those kinds of graphic images, because that would sort of paint to something bleak upon life and a kind of horror they're not really ready for and don't really have a grid to process.
Right. I know. And I can completely respect that. And, you know, I remember even we'd go to the San Diego Earth Fair, and, you know, the San Diego Earth Fair would insist on putting signs on either end of the display saying warning, content might not be suitable for children. Ironically, they wouldn't do the same thing for the damaged whales and different animals
right, yes.
that were dismembered, but just the pro-life
right.
display. And so when the children would come through, my apology would be this. If this wasn't happening every day, I would never risk showing this to your child. But because it is, and because we need to know the truth,
that's right.
There are circumstances where, to the best of our ability, we do have to expose what is true.
I think you're right. And it's just a matter of just facing the reality. And the reality is, those images have changed minds and have changed hearts. So.
And I can be a testament to that. I grew up in a pro-life home, a very pro-life home. But I remember not understanding what the issue is at a very young age. And my parents did a ton of pro-life work. I mean, I grew up, my parents opened a maternity home and they shut up our house and moved us into the maternity home for a short period of time in order to help run it when the couple left that was running it. And I knew that helping women was really important. But I remember at one point thinking, well, maybe if a woman just doesn't have her baby. I thought that's what abortion is. She just doesn't have it. That's okay. But it was really what really convicted me further was seeing those images of what abortion was. I don't think I would be here doing what I did today if I hadn't seen what abortion did to a baby.
And on the other hand, too, Timmy, wouldn't you say that when you see this in those clinics which help unwed mothers, you see very positive imagery, too, and that's also very moving, too.
Absolutely.
You know, ultimately, we should be moved by a positive message as opposed to a negative one or negative input or even to some extent a negative emotion. And so to have a positive projection on the beauty of life and the gifting of it and the divinity of it, that seems to me what should ultimately move us the most.
And that's why I agree. I think there, you know, we said we weren't going to have this conversation, but it's happening where a lot of people talk about how, for example, images of fetal development, the blown up images of fetal development are so incredibly impactful. And
that's
I agree. I actually think that's great. I'm not a fan of having, you know, images of aborted babies right in front of the abortion clinic. Do I know that has changed and saved some lives? Absolutely. Would it be my tactic? Not necessarily in front of an abortion clinic. But I'd like to talk about one more brief story. At the March for Life this year, there were three young people that kind of made their way into the March for Life, and they've got their pro-abortion signs and they're totally pro-abortion. And then what happens is they're walking in the midst of the March for Life and everyone, of course, is leaving them be. I'm sure there's conversation happening, but there's no violence like would happen if we showed up at the Women's March, like we've seen reported. But what ends up happening is basically the three young people come up to a section where I think it was created equal. Had images of a video of what an abortion is, graphic images and a video. And one of the young women in the group puts down her sign, asks for a pro-life sign, and finishes the March for Life with a pro-life sign. Look at the conversion that took place.
That's right. And again, it happens to these young people. When they start to see the truth, that really makes a difference, because unfortunately, children aren't moved so much, or young people, by authority anymore. They're not really moved by the authority of religion, and so or some other sources of authority. But when they finally see the reality, that changes things.
Timory will be right back. Tweet them at Timory. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. You're listening to Trending with Timory, where morality and culture meet, offering an eternal perspective on today's hottest topics.
Dr. Philip Chavez is in studio with me, and I want to get your thoughts on this. We've been talking a lot about the decline in fertility. In fact, for years, demographers, those are people who study the population and look at future projections, have been saying we're in big trouble because we've a whole generation of boomers that are going to retire, need Social Security, and we're not replacing ourselves. In fact, the replacement level is 2.1. We're below 1.7 here in the United States, 1.7 children per couple replacing themselves in this nation. And so this one article came out talking about how this is going to lead to a very bitter struggle by the end of the 21st century.
That's right. And again, we need a younger population to support the older population, not just for many services and whatnot, but we need taxpayers who will build up the economy so the elderly can be taken care of. And so without them, it's going to be very difficult. So we're going to be seeing such things as an increase of euthanasia, benefits for the elderly taken away, certain medical things taken away.
And many people dying alone in their home without anyone knowing for weeks or
even
months.
Right,
this is what's
care.
Happening in Japan. They have a whole industry of business that's opened up because so many old people are dying with no relatives there to even notice that they're dead for weeks at a time. So it's a huge mess.
That's
and sorry to be so morbid, of the bodies that need to be cleaned up.
That's right. And really, the damage that happens to families, too, because when life isn't welcomed, I'm not saying there's a spirit of death in the family, but when life isn't really welcomed, the family itself has no real vibrancy or life. And I think it will make for some very unhappy people.
The American Enterprise Institute is talking about how Social Security and Medicare very specifically are going to be impacted. But one of the population researchers there was talking about how there's really no long-term projections for alternatives to the demographic crisis that's taking place. They're just basing all numbers on how the current population is. But statistically, it's going to get worse. We're following the footsteps of places like Italy, like Denmark, and a lot of the, you know, different parts of the European world.
Yeah, and this is a tragedy that, politicians and those looking for the common good, we should really be looking at those things. But what's happening now, more and more politicians forgetting what's really about the common good, and they're just looking at what's happening at the here and the now. And good governance, even good family governance, is about planning ahead for your family. And so once we stop doing that, we'll cease to carry on what it is to fight for the common good.
And I have a message to both men and women, but especially to women. We have the great ability to conceive and care for children with our own bodies. And as I'm looking at this, American Enterprise Institute, one of the head researchers, is talking about how by the end of the 21st century, most men and women are going to need medical intervention in order to conceive a child. You guys, we have to take care of our bodies.
That's right.
And respect the potency, the beautiful ability to create, protect, and just govern human life that we have been given.
That's right. I think what's happened, Timory, I remember my own grandmothers, by the way, who were very concerned that as their grandchild that I ate really well. I mean, they may have been mistaken what the truth is, but there was a great awareness in them, incipient, that they had to feed their grandchildren well, right? And so I think the whole science of feeding and the nourishment has in some way been lost. And what's worse than that, it's not only the science has been lost, but the interest in woman serving that primal way to the young people. And so I think we've lost that. But yes, I think it's going to be these things that are going to wake us up. Couples aren't going to be able to procreate, and that's infertility is going on the rise.
Well, and we hear that most people, especially women, want more than two children. But the reality is that they're saying, I wanted more than two children. I had less than two. In fact, in Italy, most women report that they are not satisfied with the number of children they had. And that's why the government's trying to do everything they can through the government to create a more friendly zone for families to start a family, own property, and really grow a family.
That's right. And that's hard to do in the face of the fact that the family hasn't been supported for so long. And so it's going to be a slow road for them to really wake up and to really make the sacrifices that need to be made for that to happen.
I think the solution here is be friendly toward family, have children,
right,
and really truly care for your family.
That's
care
right.
for your children that you have.
Yeah, and I think, and grandparents need to supporting their children, you know, when they're raising their children. I think what we're finding now is once women and men have kind of raised their family, they kind of say to themselves, okay, well, I'm done. I'll see the grandchildren every now and then, but no, I'm kind of done. And really, I think one of the reasons young women now do not want to have many children is because by nature, they're not getting the support they need to raise their kids.
Right. And I mean, the school system is not friendly toward, like, for example, the university system's not friendly to young families.
That's right.
And, you know, there's this kind of animosity that's taking place. And even just this commitment to student loan debt, the inability, and we're going to talk about
that's
this
right.
soon, but the inability to own a home even today and to provide that home. It makes
right.
people afraid of starting a family.
That's right.
And we've got to create, you know, even if it's the basic, you know, we hear, you know, priests, nuns take these vows to poverty, chastity, and obedience. And I'll never forget, someone once told me in marriage preparation class that I was taking for a theology class that also marriage, you're called to poverty, chastity, and obedience. And
that's
when
right.
we separate any vocation from those three things being lived out, we're not going to live our vocation well.
That's right. And fundamentally, Timory, the poverty, chastity, obedience, as it's understood, really is about the journey of Christ.
Yeah.
The journey of Christ who made himself poor, who made himself pure, and who was always obedient to the Father. So I think we tend to lose those values insofar as we're going to be losing what it is to move and act in Christ.
Mm. I want to talk about the good news of the March for Life. So we saw hundreds of thousands of young people just make their way from across the nation
yeah.
to the March for Life. In fact, people come from outside of the nation now because they say, we are pro-life and we want to stand with you in saying we want the legal protection of unborn children. And we're going to remember those babies who have been aborted. But a really big surprise, not only was Ben Shapiro their main headliner in terms of talking about how to be pro-life is to be pro-science. Excellent
right.
videos. You've got to check them out. But a big surprise, unexpected, Vice President Mike Pence came out with his wife to truly deliver a pro-life message. And he had a surprise of another video from our own president, President Donald Trump, encouraging the marchers, thanking them for being there. And he actually put out a letter this week stating that if any piece of legislation comes across his desk that isn't in any way going to lessen or diminish, weaken the pro-life laws or increase abortion, that he would automatically veto it, and he has the support to do so.
That's right, and it's somewhat refreshing to hear a president speak so direct about it and so unapologetic about it. There's something about the strength in his presentation, which I did see the video. I was somewhat impressed.
It makes me so grateful. A lot can be said about our president. I know there's a lot of animosity in many ways from people, but the reality is our president is pro-life and he's doing something about it. In fact, in the video, he also said, I'm working as a The new Congress is working right now to really get rid of the Hyde Amendment, which That's makes right. it so that your tax dollars, dear listener, friends, like to make it so that your money does not go to pay for abortions.
That's right.
President Trump, one of his first moves once he stepped into office was to say Hyde Amendment stands. Tax dollars should not go to pay for abortion. And so right now the Democrat pro-abortion Congress is saying, oh, we need to remove that. You need to pay for abortion. He's saying, absolutely not. We're keeping this permanent in this country.
That's right. And also the Mexico City policy for funding for abortions overseas. The president is very much against that. So, yeah, on these measures, I'm very proud of him. How strong he's standing and how consistent he's been as well.
Well, and it's great to see different people who are in his cabinet, pro-life people. I myself know personally who he's pulled in as advisors, mentors, and day-to-day people working with him. I mean, Kellyanne Conway is just one example, someone who has been a major advocate for life for years now.
Yeah, she has. Yeah, he is surrounding himself with some very fine people. And some of the things that says and the statements that have been he's come out with, I'm sure have great influence from all those staffers. Absolutely.
We have to continue to stand for the right to life, and we got to do more. Do you know someone who went to the March for Life or Walk for Life? Don't let that be yours nor their one pro-life commitment this year. We have to speak up. We're in a generation. My generation has known nothing but legalized abortion. It's impacted the way we think. It's impacted our conscience, our very way we handle things. So many of us may say we're pro-life, yet we're somewhat apathetic. I personally wouldn't, but we're not willing to do something about it. We need to call people into the pro-life mission this year.
I think you're right. And this is the time to do it, especially with a president who wants to give us the momentum and a president who has the right platform and has the right message.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, we should be behind him.
And how great to see Ben Shapiro up there headlining this March for Life. He's talking about how to be pro-life as pro-science. And I loved one of the examples he gave. He was asked a question, I think it was on Fox News, about how there are different pieces of legislation in some of the states right now having to do with fetal pain that would ban abortion after 20 weeks when a baby feels pain. And I said, you know, what do you think about the research? And Ben Shapiro's like, I'm not going to get into the research. He said, we should not, I mean, this is great to pass this pro-life law, but he's saying we shouldn't be talking about whether or not a baby can feel nerve endings to determine whether or not we kill a child. And I just thought that was such a fantastic line.
I think it was, because as he was just simply saying, and I heard that interview, that it doesn't really go to the core of the issue. Now, I'm wondering if he's missing it, too, that some of those things are implemented because sometimes people only vote on the basis of compassion. So if you know somebody's going to be feeling pain, well, we can't have that. Therefore, you know, we've got to prohibit abortion. So I think people are doing the best they can to limit abortion as much as they can. I don't think he made a concession to that position.
Right. He was totally for this legislation, but he was just saying, like, should we have to say that a person can feel their nerve endings in order to say that they can't be aborted? That shouldn't be what determines its humanity and ability to live.
It's not substantive enough.
Well, it's been great having you here in studio. You can find Dr. Philip Chavez's work at themensacademy.org. If you enjoyed what you heard today, you can head over to radiotrending.com to find more information out and leave me a message.
This has been Trending with Timory. To learn more about Timory Millington, visit timory.com.